Monday, WWE's 7 foot 450-pound New Year's baby welcomes you to a very special edition of Monday Night Raw.
Senior Hayes, happy holidays. How have you been?
I've been excellent this holiday season. Holidays are always a little hectic around the Johnson household. That's what happens when you have four kids. But it's been a fun time. Looking forward to getting through New Year's and these kids going back to school so things can start normalizing again. But it's been a good holiday season. How was yours? You went back home, right?
I did go back home. I left New York and went back to the home state of North Carolina. Shout out to Wrestling Redneck. We were trying to link up, but you know, holiday season's tough to say. I grew up in Durham. That's where my parents live. He lives in Raleigh. So anybody familiar with the area knows that, you know, you probably refer to the area as Raleigh Durham because that's where the airport is. And so it's really close proximity to each other. So next time I'm be in town, maybe we might be trying to collab on a little bit of something, aka a blunt. But in any event, we're definitely going to be chilling. But I just went back, saw the family, got to open up some Christmas presents with the family, like old tradition. So it was fun. It was you know, a nice reprieve. And it was only there for a few days because I had to come back and work today, yesterday, the 28th. Today's the 29th. But it's this weird week. I don't know about you, Hayes, but it's like on Christmas we get off and New Year's Day we get off. What the fuck is this week in between? Why are we working this week? Just let's just call a siesta the whole week. How about that?
Well, I have been off this whole week, so
all right, fuck yourself for starters.
So fortunately, I haven't had to experience the good old workplace. But yeah, man. And I think I'm going to start doing this every year, too. Like, I had a bunch of vacation time that I had to use, so I kind of had to take this week off. I think I'm going to start doing that all the time now, because this has just been refreshing. A good way to go into the new year, to be fresh of mind and no work.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds so... I mean, I was very blessed to get as much off as I did, you know, for my vacation to go back home and everything. But yeah, this week, I mean, work for whatever reason, like I've said before, if you've listened to prior podcasts, especially Let Me Talk to You, I work in a museum in New York City, which is a hotbed for tourists. And for whatever reason, this time of year, the international tourists flock to here. I guess they want to see New York at Christmas time, or they want to be here for when the ball drops or something similar to that. But oh my God, we've been getting crushed these past 2 days we've been open. It has been busy as hell. And they've been some long days, man. I mean, like, it's very cool gig to, like, meet people from all over the world. But, man, just long days and packed houses when you're just like, man, it's cold. And I just want to be chilling at home watching some wrestling. I mean, goddamn.
Yeah, it's always a good time. Wrestling, I will say this, like, wrestling's been so good, at least for me, the month of December. Do you watch Evolve? Do you watch their iPay-per-views at all?
I do not.
Oh man, you have to, like, if you just like just wrestling at kind of its purest, like, fuck the storylines, just great matches. Evolve pay-per-views always deliver. It's kind of I compare them to takeovers in a sense, to where it's like the wrestling in the ring, it's, you're never going to be disappointed from a Evolve iPay-per-view.
Well, I have definitely wanted to check them out in the past and have always meant to. And they've run some shows around here, I believe. So I want to see one of their shows live. I want to see one of their shows online. I've never dipped my toe into the water, but I definitely need to. You got a good show absolutely. You can recommend for me? Like, which is a good Evolve show to jump into? I mean, do you have a particular iPay-per-view that you were like, damn, that was a damn good pay-per-view?
Really, they're all good. Let me think. I believe it was 94. I believe 94. And there was a Dijak match on Evolve 94 that was just amazing. It was one of those matches that it was like right when he signed. So it was what he did in between ROH and officially going to report to WWE. And it was the match where I was like, okay, this guy seriously could be a star. And his matches in ROH were all okay. But it was, man, I wish I could remember exactly which Evolve.
Yeah, Evolve 94. I'm not seeing a Donovan Dijak match on here. We've got, I mean, this looks like a hell of a card, though. Keith Lee versus Matt Riddle in the main event. Holy shit, that sounds like an amazing match. But let me see. Donovan Dijak, this is excellent radio right here. I mean, like, this is fantastic.
Thank God for editing.
Oh, I mean, no, we're keeping this in. This is pure baby. I love it. Donovan Dijak, Evolve is what I'm going. I got Evolve 85, Ethan Page versus Donovan Dijak, also known as Chris Parks. Evolve 81, Keith Lee versus Donovan Dijak. Holy shit.
That's Keith Lee, my guy. Yes.
Oh, Keith Lee is my guy.
I didn't realize it was that long ago, if it was that far away, if it was 81. But yeah, that one, go watch that match if you can watch it on YouTube. However you get it, watch that match. It was a great match.
Back from March 31st. This was WrestleMania weekend, I think. Something like that, maybe.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. I mean, look, Keith Lee. God damn, every time I see that guy in the ring, I am just astounded by what he can do. I mean, so is that your first exposure to Keith Lee?
It was.
Right? I fell out of my chair when I first saw him. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Keith Lee's amazing. He's got a bright future ahead of him. So does Donovan Dijak. There's a lot of people. Matt Riddle, and I don't know if you heard how often you listen to Red Zone or not, but Matt Riddle is quickly becoming, I don't think he's the best wrestler by any stretch of the imagination, but he's becoming my favorite wrestler to watch. And most of his stuff is in Evolve. Like, the guy is just amazing, amazing. I always feel like Evolve is kind of like pre-NXT. Like, a lot of people who come through Evolve eventually find their way to NXT because they have the working relationship with WWE. But Matt Riddle is amazing, and I watch Evolve a lot for him. Evolve and the WWN Live mega shows that they put together, Matt Riddle's usually all over, and he usually has a great match on any of those shows. Definitely worth checking it out.
Now, Matt Riddle, for me, I've always been a fan of because, A, I loved him in UFC. I thought that he was a really charismatic fighter that had some, you know, I enjoyed his performances. Maybe his matches maybe were never classics, but I thought that he was, you know, it was really entertaining to watch him and his skill level and the fact, and I just became a mark for him because he failed fucking 4 drug tests for weed. And then the UFC was like, okay, well, I guess you're gone. Dude leaves the sport undefeated. That's some Undertaker shit. Well, it would be some Undertaker shit if it wasn't for Brock. Anyway, but like, he leaves the sport undefeated, comes over to pro wrestling, comes through barefooted in the ring with his old MMA shorts, like just this tight shorts, and then works just insane matches with these awesome suplexes. I mostly was exposed to him in What Culture Pro Wrestling, but and I believe he was in New Japan, was he not? Or no, I don't think he was. But I had never seen him in Evolve, and he is the champion there, it seems. But any dose of Matt Riddle, is a good dose for me. I'm always here to watch him.
Did you see Shibata, versus Matt Riddle at Rev Pro?
Damn, no, but that sounds so good.
Man,
Rev Pro is the shit.
Yeah, I think that match was back in January, I believe. That was another amazing one. Matt Riddle has had a great 2017. He's tagged with Jeff Cobb a few times as well. And they had a match against Phoenix and Pentagon Jr. that blew my fucking mind. Like, I was just looking at that match like, it's too many amazing people in one match. And yeah, I had a wrestling-gasm on that match. So,
a wrestling-gasm?
Yeah, wrestling-gasm.
What does that look like?
A lot of sweat.
Don't go too far into detail. Now that I think about it.
Oh, man. But yeah, definitely check out Evolve. Check out WWN Live. There are super shows. Yeah, it's a lot of great wrestling. That's how. That's primarily where I get my indie wrestling fix. Unless there's like a match that someone else mentions. New Japan, I don't count as indie at all. But so yeah, as far as like completely independent wrestling, most of it I get is through Evolve and WWE and Live.
Well, I'm definitely gonna have to check that out because everything that you have listed sounds just fantastic. So definitely gotta check that out. Something maybe was less fantastic this year was Impact Wrestling, Hayes, and we are compelled to talk about it. These past 2 weeks, they have been holding their Best of 2017 recap shows. And the things that they've listed on these shows are pretty fucking sus. Let me just say that, because they have some glaringly obvious omissions. But would you like if I just list the certain things that they say are the best of 2017, and you give me a reaction, whether or not you even remembered it, or if you liked it, or if you just whatever reaction? How about that?
Sure.
Alberto El Patron versus Lashley, who was the champion for the Impact Championship. It seems like this was December. So yeah, this was this is last week. No, it was last week because it was listed on the fucking, okay, I got confused right there because it's labeled on YouTube as December 21st. I'm like, you motherfuckers. I would not even be surprised. But
oh man, that's hilarious.
Do we remember an Alberto El Patron versus Lashley match just individually? I don't even remember because that just sounds like a typical Impact main event.
No, because it was horrible. Like
Lashley. Well, that was when Alberto won the championship. Oh, exactly. Fuck. How is this the best of? Oh, Jesus.
What world, whoever picked this list deserves to be fired. But I mean, we talked about it before we started recording. It's clear what they were doing. On this list, they wanted to pick some recent stuff. They wanted to pick people who were still in their company. Like this is not a true best of list at all. This is nothing but pandering to themselves and the current administration, because most of this list is bullshit.
Mind you, folks, neither me nor Hayes actually watched these two past best of shows, because can you blame us? It doesn't look like anybody else did either. I don't want to say this for sure, but I think the ratings dip below 200,000 for these shows. Below 200,000.
What the fuck were they thinking having 2 weeks of best of shows? Like, I get it. You need something to hold you off to the tapings, but you didn't need 2 weeks of this shit. Like, it's just a slap in the face. I'm just hoping that they took this time to give us some shit that's going to be flat out good. Because, like, Impact Wrestling, the last half of the year was so consistently just mediocre to bad. I think the last episode, actual episode, was, I think it was pretty good. I think we both were pretty high on it. But, like, overall, just this company's just had a bad second last quarter of the year. It's just been really bad.
Do you watch OSW Review?
I do not.
So they recap old school wrestling storylines, pay-per-view by pay-per-view. That's their tagline. It's a YouTube series. It's really good. Definitely encourage you to check it out. Their last episode was recapping from 2007, 10 years ago, TNA Christmas episode. And it featured, I shit you not, gimmick matches featuring a double North Pole match. We're in one pole. This is right in the Vince Russo area, mind you. And we're in one pole. So one pole had a gimmick on once. So one pole had a gimmick where it was an Ultimate X match. And then another one had, it was a glass table match. And the winner of the match had to climb the pole and pull down whatever gimmick they wanted to get. That's one match, by the way, right there. They had a Santa's Workshop Knockouts match. Santa's Workshop Knockout match. What do you envision with that, Hayes?
I envision two people dressed up like either Santa or elves and various toys used in the match?
You would be 100% spot on.
Wow. Well, I promise you, I don't even remember this match. To my recollection, haven't seen it. So that's just crazy. Was that another Russo booking?
This is the Russo. Like, just Russo. Dude.
Fucking they hilarious.
Had a Christmas cage match wherein it was the lockdown cage, but they strung Christmas lights around the cage. They had a... Wait, shit.
God damn it!
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. Where did I go out? Because I just randomly got a notification that my computer could no longer recognize my USB device, so that's awesome.
Oh, man, it's one thing or another. We were talking about the Christmas match or whatever.
The Christmas match? Which one?
The Santa's Workshop episode
booked by Vince fucking Russo. They're all Christmas matches.
The Santa's Workshop match, and then you went Santa's into the lockdown workshop. Saying that there were Christmas lights sound around the lockdown cage.
Yes, it's a lockdown cage strapped up with Christmas lights, and then. There's a four-way, it's a Silent Night, Bloody Night match.
Oh, man.
There's a reindeer ladder match featuring AJ Styles and Kaz.
I bet you that was a pretty good match, though.
The winner grabs a reindeer costume for the loser to wear.
That is hilarious, man. Oh, yeah. And you
I'll
know what-
tell you fucking what, this was an entertaining show. And it's, and my point, the whole reason I bring all this up is, You could just record a stupid, dumb show like this, and it will still be somewhat entertaining. Because it's better than just throwaway bullshit like this. Because this is either laughably bad or deceptively good. And, like, for God's sakes, if that's a compliment to Vince Russo, so be it.
Yeah. And it's funny you mentioned lockdown, because, you know, I know it's not on a run sheet, but... Did you see that Lockdown is returning as a live pay-per-view this year?
Oh,
or next year, I should say.
Oh my God. I have such bad memories of back when Lockdown was just a pay-per-view. Like, I think the last Lockdown pay-per-view that I've watched was Prime Bischoff Hogan. And I don't even remember what the storylines going into it were, but oh my Lord, just no bueno. But hey, we'll see. Look, I think the concept in of itself is fine. Every single match inside of the lockdown cage, you know, is it overkill? Sure. But just to have it as one dedicated night, that's fine. I know damn well I'm not going to pay $40 for it, though. You've wronged me enough, TNA, GFW, Impact. You've wronged me enough.
Yeah, I mean, I like the fact, I like what it seems like they're putting more money into this company in 2018. It shows faith behind the new leadership there, which I don't really know if we talked much about. I listened to Jericho's podcast with those guys on it, and they seem to really, really have some interesting ideas. I'm not worried about their ideas as much as I'm worried about the execution that the parent company was going to allow them to do. But when you see things like this, like they're going to run another live pay-per-view, that's not cheap at all. Hopefully that means that, you know, they're going to put that into the actual week-to-week show too. I say this every time, every new regime, I have my high hopes up. But you know, we'll see what happens, man. I'm a little jaded in some instances. Like a lot of people are excited about it. Initially when Redneck was in the chat and he talked about it, I'm like, you know what? I heard the same thing from every new regime, but it's an exciting time. At least it seems like from the business standpoint that they're going to try to do some interesting things in 2018.
Let's move on with the rest of whatever they consider to be the best of 2018.
Fuck this list.
Trevor Lee versus Andrew Everett versus Suicide versus Loki versus Devs McXavier versus Sanjay Dutt for the X Division Championship.
That one wasn't bad.
Loki wins by pinfall to become the X Division Champion. Can't say that that's a bad match. But again, so these are the top two things that we're leading off the best of 2017 with. we'll go in. All right. Well, actually, this next match is definitely a contender for Impact Match of the Year. And that's Decay versus LAX Tag Team Championship Street Fight. I mean, you brought this up before we started recording. This might be TNA Match of the Year.
Yes. Yes, I honestly think this was the Match of the Year in TNA. This was a great match. LAX, who... It just sucks what happened to them towards the end of the year due to things, you know, outside of necessarily their control. But LAX was just such a feel good story. Like, I hated the idea of them coming back. Like, when they said they were bringing back LAX, I'm like, ah, but this has been so good. And then when they introduced Low-Key as a member of LAX, it was great. And it's kind of just been downhill since then, unfortunately.
Yeah, and Low-Key, just no matter where he goes, is just, he's fucking awesome. He's so great in the ring. He's so unique. And I really like his promos. His voice is just captivating. And just throughout the year in Impact, he was just wonderful. And it sucks that he's such a dick, you know?
Yeah, I mean, some people are self-destructive, and that's what it seems like he is. It seems like he sours every relationship he has with companies in the wrestling industry. And it just sucks because the guy is such a talent. He's a great wrestler. And I don't throw that around easy. Like, Low-Key, in the ring, one of those people, if you had a trust to deliver at least a 4-star match if your life depended on it, if he was your guy, you'd feel pretty confident in it. He's just, I don't know, man. He just needs to get out of his own way, I think.
One match that definitely didn't raise his spirits was him going to India to job out to Sanjay Dutt, which is the next match on this Best of 2017 list. Sanjay Dutt winning the title in India a month after Jinder Mahal basically did the same thing. But not in India, but, you know. This match, I remember being solid and more about the spectacle of it being in India, but I think it definitely deserves to be on the Best of 2017. I don't mind this being on there.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Yep, that's, I can see your palpable love of Sanjay Dutt as the X Division champion.
It's not due to any fault of him, the performer. It was more so due to just how they handled him and the stupid ass storylines they put him with Trevor Lee. But Sanjay Dutt has been really good. Like, 2017, Sanjay Dutt and Petey Williams have returned to Impact Wrestling, and they've both been great. As far as like in the ring stuff and what they added to this company, added to the X Division for a while there. But the storylines is just the execution of it was just not good to me.
If this company survives this year, Petey Williams better have 2018 better be Petey Williams' year. That's all I'm saying. Sienna versus Gail Kim at Slammiversary. The Knockouts Unification match wherein Sienna won. God. Oh my God, that just reminded me that Slammiversary had unification matches between GFW and TNA.
GFW, who's no longer, Impact Wrestling is no longer using GFW. And I believe GFW had a show this past weekend. So,
what?
Man. Yeah. They had a show this past weekend.
Who? What is GF? What?
Yeah. Jeff Jarrett returned and everything.
What are you talking about? How? What is GF? Dude, what? You need to explain this to me. I literally have no idea what you're talking about. How is GFW exist right now?
I mean, they were never officially bought by Impact Wrestling. Jeff Jarrett, he got out of rehab. So I think him and some GFW talent put on some type of show this weekend.
Holy shit, I'm looking this up. They partnered up with the Music City Bowl, the college football bowl game.
There you go. I know I read something about it.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and Jerry the King Lawler were there. What?
Crazy. Crazy. Like, what? For whatever you want to say about Jeff Jarrett, like, dead serious, he's an asshole, he's crazy, whatever you want to say about him, he refuses to let up. Like, this GFW, like, in 10 years we may be talking about GFW being the fourth largest wrestling company, because he just refuses to give up.
was ran with help from WWE? Oh my god. This is the most mind-boggling dude, Hayes, you just pretzeled my brain with this. What is this shit? Oh my god.
Oh man. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. It's seriously, it doesn't make any sense that GFW would still be a thing, but they are. They are. Now what do you think? And it's never going to happen. I want to say it right now. It's not going to happen.
Dude, I can't even think right now. What the I'm literally in shock. I don't know how to deal with this.
Oh, man. So Jeff Jarrett goes away to rehab. What if him going to rehab somehow fixes the relationship between him and Vince McMahon, and somehow GFW honestly becomes a thing now? Like, how mind-blowing would that be?
First off, my mind is already blown, so I don't know how you blow a pre-blown mind, but imagine that GFW becomes the new WWE ECW. The new, like, just third brand that they throw on sci-fi and put a zombie on.
Oh, man. It's possible. You know, I mean, Vince, I don't know if it's Vince directly, but WWE Network is interested in kind of being the place for pay-per-views for these other companies. We've heard about ROH, RevPro, ICW, holding events on the WWE Network. What if some type of crazy way GFW holds a quarterly event on the WWE Network? I would be done. Like, there's no way my brain would be able to process that's happening. But, I mean, with the direction that they're trying to take WWE Network and changing it and offering wrestling from all these different places, It's not completely out the realm of possibility.
Oh man. Then that would just punk Impact so hard because they have their global wrestling network and their global championships. Oh my god. That would just be hilarious. Well, just whole reason we were talking about that is because we were talking about Cena versus Gail Kim at Slammiversary, but that was that fucking match where, like, Rosemary came in and, like, oh boy, it was like an interference. It was, I don't know. Rosemary was in the match. I don't even know why it was not. Yeah, so this is, yeah, I don't even remember this match, honestly, as you can tell by my fucking confused demeanor. But Cena won, so.
Fuck these unification matches. Yeah, fuck that. This whole period of Impact's years, just it's when you really think back on it, that they really tried to rebrand this company GFW, and they thought it was a good idea. Got burnt because Jeff Jarrett is just a monster con man. But just think about what Impact has been through this year. Just look at all the different rebrands, the new titles that they almost immediately had to put these damn stickers over to cover up the GFW logos.
Stickers! Stickers!
Oh, man. ROH, by the way, who has a new world title that is just beautiful, and we're stuck in Impact Wrestling with stickers on titles still. Hopefully that's part of this rebrand when this show comes back.
Look at this new ROH title. Oh, that is nice. It's almost like it. Like they got like a. They got some leaves coming out the side. That's very pretty. Very nice. Oh my god. All right. Yeah. Fuck the stickers. The only other thing that's from Slammiversary. They didn't even. Kudos to them. Not a single thing from Bound for Glory is on this list. At least they're to that degree self-aware.
I guess if we're giving them any type of props, okay. We can give them some for that.
Josh Matthews and Scott Steiner versus Joseph Park and Jeremy Borash. This is my Impact match of the year, and I'm not running from that take. This was the most fun I had watching Impact this year. This match was awesome.
Yes, it was. And it was one of those things where Scott Steiner returned, and I was just like, whatever. This is not going to be good.
I can't believe that you would react like that. I can't believe that.
I did. I'm dead serious. Like, this is, and I'm one of the, I try to always admit when I'm wrong. I don't ever want to come to a podcast like, oh yeah, I liked it from the get-go. I didn't. Like, when he was announced, when he first walked out there, he just looked old and like, I'm just here to collect a check. But it was a pretty good match. And Abyss return, like, it was, I was completely wrong in what I went into thinking this match was going to be.
God, this is so good. Joseph Park returned. So much about this was awesome. Shark Boy came back.
Shark Boy. Shark Boy in 2017.
So good. But yeah, like I said, that's my favorite match. After that, they have the Gauntlet for the Gold match that ended up, that was the Battle Royal where Eli Drake became the global champion. Hey, Eli Drake becoming the global champion, I don't remember the Rumble being that great at all, but that result is one that still to this day makes this shit worth watching. So that's worthy of being in the best of.
Yes, Eli Drake winning that title, and you know, in 2016, I kept saying 2017 is going to be the year of Eli Drake. 2017 is going to be the year Eli Drake. And it just seemed like he got pushed down the card. And at one point, I'm like, this isn't going to happen. And it's like, as soon as I got down on it, as soon as I came to realize that maybe they just didn't see it in Eli Drake, he won the title. And I'm so happy. He's been great as a champion. Say what you will about the shows and how they've been written, but almost everything with Eli Drake in it, when he's backstage, like, it's been gold. The guy's just, he's great. He's great. And hopefully they can hold on to him. I have doubts on that, especially with how this roster looks like it's going. But Eli Drake is just, he's the man. He's the man.
We've always said it, and I hope he ain't going anywhere. He's had the title for, oh, man, like, I would think over 130 days or something like that, man. And as he should be, he should be keeping that title for a very long time. By the way, I spoke too soon. They got two matches from Bound for Glory on later. We'll talk about those motherfuckers. But Falls Count Anywhere. Right, this is the last one before Bound for Glory. Falls Count Anywhere. Sanjay Dutt versus Trevor Lee. Trevor Lee beats Sanjay Dutt to become the X Division champion. You mentioned earlier, could do without this storyline. It's a shame. These matches were probably good. It's just these X Division matches featuring the same X Division guys, I don't remember which one is which. And so this one, I don't particularly remember. Sue me.
Yeah, because they probably had three more matches with the exact same guys in the exact same type of match over the course of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, so I think this is the one where they brawled throughout the arena and they went backstage. They went back, and that's when Caleb Conley re-debuted. You remember that? And they brawled into like a parking garage and stuff like that.
Yeah. I remember this. And that when he got attacked backstage, right?
I think so. Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they fought like outside of the building, and then, you know, that's when they beat him up outside of the building and they hit the pinfall out. Like, yeah. So I don't know. I remember that being pretty entertaining, actually. So I take that back.
Fuck it. That's what I have to say about it.
Bound for Glory time, Hayes.
Well, do we have to, Josh?
It's only two more matches on their list, and we are going to talk about them. The people demand it. LAX versus OVE, 5150 street fight. Powder in the eyes. Sami Callihan debut. Hey, Sami Callihan pile driver through the table was fucking awesome. The ending of this match, fucking awesome. But hey, an interference to end the match on a show where that was every goddamn match, like an episode of Nitro. So I remember that this didn't leave a great taste in our mouths.
It did not. I just wasn't high on it. I was looking forward to Sami Callihan coming in. It's not been good since he's been. They've done nothing just extremely good with him since he's been in the company. I mean, the whole thing being in the park with Conan was pretty funny, but it's been nothing just amazing from Sami Callihan since he's been in Impact at all.
Yeah, I mean that. So the last episode of Impact before this holiday break, featuring the meeting between him and Conan, probably the best thing he's done so far. So who's to say what the future holds? But again, in that segment, like we pointed out, he was definitely the weakest link in that whole segment. So he's got a long ways to go before he is a compelling manager slash enforcer kind of guy. But let's just wrap this up with a match that, of course, it made this list because they're fucking morons. But can you guess what match from Battle for Glory they put in here? And, like, just the disappointment that is reeking from my voice.
Don't tell me it's the main event.
It's Eli the main Drake event.
Johnny Impact?
With the Alberto interference.
Fuck that.
Hey, good match. But, oh my god, that interference just, I'm getting post-traumatic stress disorder, Hayes, from watching that, reading about it.
Oh, yeah, man, Battle for Glory was just, I feel like that was abuse. They
glaring things that were missing. What's the first thing that you think of?
First thing that I think that's missing from this. Oh god. You put me on the spot here, Josh. Like, I was so busy.
The Expedition of Gold is the answer. Oh
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We just talked about this before we started recording. Of course, the Expedition of Gold, which was easily probably the best thing of this from this company from this year.
Yeah. And of course they didn't include it. There was a whole string between February and mid-March, wherein, oh my god, we just remembered all these insane things. A Eddie Edwards versus Davey Richards street fight. They neglected to include that. That happened this past year. That was an incredible match.
Yeah, true.
And the LAX debut, which, I mean, I guess we just ran over the matches, but that was my moment of the year, was the LAX debut in March. That's easily the best thing that happened in Impact this year. That may be my favorite just segment in all of wrestling this year. And I'm serious. I mean, I have hated most of Impact this year, but I still watch that segment back and I say, holy shit, that was an insane fucking segment. Whenever the Gringo Killer was hit and then Conan grabs the mic and goes, orale, I'm fucking here for it. And I remember marking out on the pod after we reviewed that. So that was my moment of the year. But it was like that stretch between February and March. We had the Hardys on their Expedition of Gold, Eddie Edwards, Davey Richards, and then LAX debuted. It was like, oh, man, so much good stuff. What happened to this company? Oh, wait, Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah, Alberto Del freaking Rio, or El Patron, whatever you want to call him. Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. What's been... Well, if you had to pick a singular, not match, just favorite moment, doesn't have to be the best moment, but what was your favorite moment? Is it the LAX? Is that your favorite moment of the year?
That's my favorite moment of the year.
I can respect that.
Yours?
Mine is the Eli Drake winning the title. And you know, for personal reasons, why that was. I just feel like that was just such a great moment, just considering the year that he's had leading up to that. Yeah, for me, that was just great.
Well, that's Impact for 2017. That year, man. 2016, can we just reminisce about 2016? I mean, what a good year. What a just, Hardy's Decay, just so much goodness. I mean, spread across. Drew Galloway was still there to start off the year. He was awesome. But oh man, 2017, not the best year.
No, not at all. It's hard to get worse, so let's just hope that we're in for a better year in 2018. But yeah, 2017 in Impact Wrestling was okay. It had the highs, like the great moments of this year were really, really good. Personally, like I said, for me personally, with the Eli Drake, some really outstanding matches like LAX, Expedition of Gold, that was super entertaining. They've had some really good stuff in this company. It's just seriously, like I said, it was like the last half to quarter of the year was just all mediocre at best, and that's what brings it down.
Yeah, and it leaves a bad legacy on the thing. Well, and it's the amount of turnover and changes. They can't establish anything consistent across the storyline. So if something good bubbles up in 1 month, it might be gone by the next, just because all the creative are gone and all the people in charge are gone. So if there's one thing about 2018, it's that it looks like Impact has management behind it that are there for the long haul, that are there to, you know, keep it in business, and so that they can operate without having to wonder if the company's going to go under at any time. Now, this is going to come at the expense of some really great talent, but when it comes to how they produce a weekly TV show, at the very least, we're going to see consistency. If it's going to be consistently good, consistently bad, or consistently average and missable, then we'll see. But it's not going to jump all over the page like it has in 2017.
Yeah, I mean, it's good that they have firm leadership in place, and it's good that that leadership has a vision for the company, and it seems like they're trying to rebuild that relationship with New Japan Pro Wrestling. If they can do that and bring in some talent here and there, that'd be good. Even if they just send people over to New Japan to work some mediocre matches, like it just seems like the people that they have in place now have a vision for this company. We have a direction. Now let's see how they execute that direction and where they want to go. And you know, hopefully 2018 can be much better.
Well, let's move on from Impact, unless you have anything more you want to say about it.
No. I wish we could have moved on 20 minutes ago, because Impact just sucks. So let's keep it moving.
Great summation. Before we keep it moving, actually, do you mind if I use the bathroom?
No, just use it on yourself. Of course, go ahead.
Just use it on myself? What?
Yeah. It'll warm you up. Just piss on yourself.
You're a weird motherfucker, Hayes.
I am.
Right?
Oh, man. I really have to go to the bathroom. Why did I have all that beer and coffee and watermelon?
Now, Homer, I know what you're thinking, and I want to take the pressure off. It doesn't take a whiz to see that you're looking out for number one. Well, listen to me, and you'll make a big splash very soon.
Oh, which way to the bathroom?
I'm back from my piss break, everybody.
Yay.
So, thank you, Hayes. So, did you miss me?
I did, man. I did a lot. I didn't know what to do with myself. It was almost uncontrollable there for a minute.
Uncontrollable, like my urge to piss.
There you go. Oh, it brings it all back around.
Yeah, I'm just the wittiest. Rolling Stone named The Miz WWE Wrestler of the Year. The Miz had to say on Twitter, "You don't become Wrestler of the Year by wearing your own merch shirt or tactical vests. You become Wrestler of the Year by day after day, over-delivering on everything you do. When I come back, Raw will be my show again. The Intercontinental title is my title. Thanks, Rolling Stone, for this honor. Sorry, Roman, maybe next year, Big Dog." Your thoughts on The Miz as Wrestler of the Year?
I mean, there's something to be said about him being maybe WWE's MVP of the year.
It is the WWE Wrestler of the Year. That's the category.
Oh, just the WWE Wrestler of the Year. Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Really? I co-sign that wholeheartedly.
Really?
I do, because The Miz, like, WWE specifically isn't always just about the matches. But quite frankly, most of it is not about the matches. It's about the stories that they want to tell. It's about getting characters over. It's about getting reactions out of the crowd. The Miz is one of the best at that. Me and Bello had a good conversation a couple of red zones ago that the Drifter is quickly working his way into possibly being that himself, but that's a story for another day. But The Miz...
How the hell did you go from Wrestler of the Year to the Drifter? What the hell?
We'll see. That's a different conversation.
We will never see.
I know you're not. You were one of the first Drifter fans. One of the first people who told me I was crazy for my hate of the Drifter. But nonetheless, The Miz, as WWE's Wrestler of the Year, I can co-sign that. He didn't deliver the best matches of the year, by any means, but he was probably one of the most consistent. That was highlighted by the fact of The Miz was always in a big role throughout the whole year in WWE. So I signed that all the way.
Yeah, I mean, I just look, when you compare him to the field, I mean, look, AJ Styles. For me, Braun Strowman, a guy that has just been he's on top this year. True. And The Miz last year, I think I would have said The Miz, him or AJ Styles is the rest of the year. And probably it comes down to him, AJ Styles, and Braun Strowman to me. Although, honest to God, to me personally, I think Roman is in that conversation too. But, you know, I'm not here for that bag of fucking worms. But The Miz, I feel, getting the credit that he's due. Do you feel like he should be moving on from the IC title into a Universal/WWE World title picture in 2018? Or should he be the example of what the IC title should look like? Should he keep trying to go to set the record and become the best Intercontinental Champion of all time? What say you in terms of his trajectory in 2018?
2018, I'm calling for a Miz title ring. I'm saying Miz is going to get the world title at some point in 2018, and he's going to hold it for no less than 3 to 4 months.
3 to 4 months?
Yes.
Why do you think so?
Well, A, keep in mind what he tweeted out. He tweeted out about Roman. Roman is the IC title right now, but we all know or expect Roman to win the title from Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
Well, he's talking about Roman because Roman has his title. He talked about how the IC title is his title.
True, but don't forget the Miz, even that's what I said, even if you take the IC title out, what's the last storyline the Miz was in? It was with the Shield and with Roman Reigns. So no matter where Roman is when Miz returns, I say Miz comes after Roman Reigns. I say the Miz wins the title. I say he has the title, even if it's not from Roman. Even if he comes back and gets the IC title from Roman before WrestleMania and then Roman goes on to win the world title, I'm saying at some point, Miz is going to have the world title again in 2018. He's been too consistent not to. Just think about it. Like he's the most consistent heel on WWE's roster. If WWE makes the decision to eventually go to Finn or somebody else as the world champion, move away from Roman, The Miz is the perfect guy to hold the title as a heel for anyone. Other than Braun. Braun would be good too, but Braun is unbeatable. Brock is only going to lose to certain people. It almost, when you look at Raw, if it's going to be a heel, it almost has to be The Miz.
The guy was put into a intergender tag feud with Nikki Bella, John Cena, and his wife Maryse, and made it compelling as shit.
Yes.
Unparalleled ability on the mic. I will say his matches don't do a thing for me. Outside of his series with Dolph Ziggler, his matches don't do shit for me. I'm sorry. And that's the one thing that holds him back from being Wrestler of the Year. When it comes down to the promos and the builds, he is by far the best in the world, I think. He's the best in the world right now. But when it comes down to delivering in the ring, I'm always like, yeah, that was an average match. He wrestles safe. He's never hurt. He works all the time. He's an Iron Man. So, look, you trade the matches for the promos, and you trade the, you know, the potentially dangerous spots for a prolonged career and an active career where he's on TV weekly. Hey, you know, I guess that's fine, but look, AJ doesn't have to trade that, and so for that reason, I think that AJ would be slotted above The Miz, in my opinion, in that regard. But again, AJ does not have the promo quality of The Miz, so it's tough to say. It's just really dependent on you know, what your flavor is, and that's the best thing about wrestling. Hey, is it's we got 21 flavors, like it's Dr. Pepper, 23 flavors they have in Dr. Pepper, right? How many flavors they have in Dr. Pepper?
23, I think.
23. Yeah, that's right. I just looked it up. I had to look that up. I had to confirm. Otherwise, in Rolling Stone, I don't know why. When did Rolling Stone become like the pinnacle of WWE journalism? I don't know. But their runner-up was Braun Strowman. So, for what it's worth, there you go. But in any event, we'll move on to something we talked about last week, was that it pretty much broke right as soon as we started talking. And now it is, the timetable has been announced by WWE. And you let me know what you think of this timetable. 9 months for surgery. 9 months. Do you buy that?
I don't at all. I think they're like 9 months, and it's possible. It's because it's the shoulder, correct? Or is it like the elbow or something? I know some type of arm injury.
Yeah, fuck if I know.
But I mean, it could be 9 months. Look at how long Kenta was out with his shoulder injury. That was well over a year. Even I think the initial diagnosis was about 9 months when they said he may return. So it's possible. But I think WWE typically puts these timelines out a little further. That way they can try to have the surprise return. So that's probably what they're doing. They're probably just protecting him returning. If it's in 3 months, if it's in 4 months, it's going to be quicker than what they put out there. So it will be in their minds a surprise, even though it's going to probably leak out a month beforehand.
Dean Ambrose is the man. He's just the example of a guy who works hurt. So there's no goddamn way you're going to keep him on the sidelines for 9 months. He's going to go nuts. He'll probably just start just hacking himself with a weed whacker just so he can get by.
he'll just show up randomly backstage and just hop on the camera and start cutting promos on people to where they'll have to use him in the storyline on TV in some type of way.
9 months is totally a kayfabe storyline. I definitely agree with you. 3 to 4. So he was injured by Samoa Joe. We're slotting him right into a match with Samoa Joe. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Looks like that would be for SummerSlam, I think, because I think that he would be back after WrestleMania. But that'd be really great, and I'd look forward to that. Did you see the Samoa Joe interview that he had with Renee on Raw?
I did not. I did not see Raw this week.
So Renee brought up the situation, and Samoa Joe kind of broke that sort of, you know, how WWE never mentions the fact that Renee and Dean are together. And so Samoa Joe basically, you know, says to her, I hope that Dean, well, I'm happy that Dean can spend some more time with his family during the holidays, and like looks right at her and walks away. And like, she like sells it like, oh, you fucking son of a bitch. It was so good. I wish they, you know, I both wish they did that more, but the fact that it's so subtle and that they barely ever do it really helped it out.
Yeah, and it was the same way when Dean was feuding with The Miz, and The Miz mentioned it. I like the way that they throw it out there when they do decide to mention him and Renee having the thing in real life. So, yeah, hats off to them there. Small Joe is great on the mic in general, so I have no doubts that he executed it greatly.
Another thing that was on Raw, the Hideo Itami debut. Did you see this?
Yeah, I saw it.
Well, that was 2 weeks ago, so I guess you were on that recap of Red Zone.
Yeah.
Did you see that he smashed the fuck out of Brian Kendrick's orbital bone?
Yeah, now, are they going to ban the GTS? Because I read that on 205 Live, he used the Rings of Saturn as a finisher.
He's already moved away from it.
Yep. Oh, God.
I mean, look, you just... It's a great finisher, but holy shit, if you mess up it, what happened to Brian Kendrick is just, my God, that it was a, cause it's brutal. You're just dropping somebody on a extending knee. Like, oh my God, I can't imagine how much pain Kendrick has been in lately. Cause a broken orbital bone is apparently supposed to be just the worst, most painful injury according to, MMA fighters from what I've heard. So, shouts out and prayers out to Brian Kendrick, and prayers out and RIP to the GTS, because it seems like you said, that thing is going to be a thing of the past.
God damn, I love the GTS too. That just sucks, man. But I mean, hey, accidents happen in wrestling. Hopefully they realize that and they don't completely ban it. I mean, it looked brutal. So there you go, man.
Did you catch NXT this week?
I absolutely did.
Now, give me your thoughts on that Fatal 4-Way.
Man, listen here. When I tell you that was the perfect main event, the right guy went over. Like, it was everything that I could have hoped it to be. For a while there, I didn't think Johnny Gargano would win. But I'm glad that he did. I'm glad for the storyline going forward. But the match itself, man, it was just great. It was an exciting match from start to finish.
What I loved about the match is that they kind of interplaced both the big man stuff. So you had Lars versus Killian Dane, which if those two don't have a match at the next TakeOver, I'm going to be pissed. Because those two were superstars in this match, and them going up against each other was some of the most compelling stuff in the entire match. But they would have those two go up against each other, which is a different style of match, and then they'd have Aleister Black versus Johnny Gargano for a little bit, which is a totally different style of match, and then they'd cross between the two, which is a car crash. It was just, like, endlessly entertaining and always changing and always very dynamic. It was a very modern, very fun match, but let me run this point by you that Brian Alvarez brought up this week on, I want to say, the Brian and Vinny show, something like that, maybe Filthy Four Daily, something like that. But one of the shows this week, he was talking about this match and, you know, waxing poetic about the match and putting over Gargano. But he made a great point that I want to bounce off you and just get your thoughts on, is that the match was built around. So when it comes down to who do you want to see as the number one contender, who is the most viable number one contender? When you come out of this match, look, the top three guys looked like as such: Killian Dane, Lars Sullivan, Aleister Black, and then Johnny Gargano, because Johnny Gargano barely did a thing in this match.
Exactly.
He hit a DDT to cap off an already fucked up Aleister Black to get the pinfall, whenever the other three killed themselves the entire match, and Gargano had barely any sequences at all. So when you're using a match and a number one contender's match to build up that number one contender and put them over, that this really put over Johnny Gargano. I love the match, and it is one of my favorite NXT, definitely a top five NXT match of the year, maybe even a top five WWE match of the year. But that is a great point that I didn't even think about when I was watching the match. But now in hindsight, and I think about it, it really didn't put over Gargano as strong as you would hope for a number one contender.
No, I mean, he looks like he lucked into it. And I had mentioned a while ago, like, Lars Sullivan is one of those people to where I wouldn't think that I would like him as much as I do. He's so good, and he's still a little green. He has a long way to go. But yeah, everyone in this match delivered. Gargano lucked his way into a title shot, and I think that's gonna feed into how they tell the story. And I like the fact that he's gonna be in there against Cian Almas, who is a smaller guy. It's just a way to kind of transition. I don't think Gargano's going to win by any means, but I definitely think we're going to be in for a hell of a match. And hopefully for the return of Ciampa, too.
Is Gargano beating El Idolo for the NXT Championship?
No, I don't think so.
You're getting some Selena Vega bullshit in that match. I'll guarantee you that.
Absolutely.
Well, the only other thing that I wanted to talk about, and the only other thing on this run sheet is, well, because it is the holiday season, and I just want to talk about the most important holiday that of all the days in the season, and it just so happens to be every day, because every day is Rusev Day. Oh my God, did you watch SmackDown this week?
Yes, I did.
How do you not put over Rusev Day as the number one contender? Benjamin and Gable are great, but oh my God, give it to Rusev Day.
Rusev Day is so good. Like, him and Aiden English being together, and like when Aiden English is just talking and singing, and Rusev is just like getting hyped up, kind of dancing. Like, it was so good. Rusev is having so much fun in this role. I want to see Rusev highlighted even more so outside of the tag division. Like, Rusev is just so good in almost every aspect of wrestling. But this Rusev Day thing, sign me up for it, man. I'm so behind this. Like, it's just great.
Aiden English is so fucking talented. We talked about last week wherever Gable, like, spiked him on his head with one of the suplexes. Then we go into this match this past week wherein, like, there were so many great spots. I mean, Aiden English had the frog splash that I thought should have won it. I mean, how awesome would that have been? He's the son-in-law. Is he the son-in-law of Eddie? I mean, I know he's married to a Guerrero, but I don't know what her lineage is. Do you know that?
Yeah, it's Eddie Guerrero's daughter, so he is.
Okay, Eddie's so he son-in-law. Is Eddie's son-in-law. That would have been an awesome fucking pinfall, but then they didn't pull the trigger on it. Rusev had the double accolade, which was just awesome. I mean, I'm not like I said earlier, Benjamin and Gable, they're fucking awesome. I'm not so sold on them being heels. I'm never going to boo Chad Gable. You're never going to catch me doing that. He is just awesome on the mic. And those two are fine in themselves, but give them some time to develop outside of the tag team title picture. Put Rusev Day over. Give them the belts right now, because just to do that, the crowd would be so hot for them. I mean, the Usos are, you know, they should be champions, but they don't always have to be the champions. I think Rusev Day need to be the champions now.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely wouldn't hate them being the champions at all. They're great together. They're absolutely great together. And I didn't know what to expect at first, but I'm thoroughly enjoying them.
Well, that's all I got for this week. That's all I have on the run sheet. Hayes, is there anything else on the wrestling world that you would like to talk about?
Yes, I just want your opinion. And we talked about them a little bit before. I think it was like right when they debuted or whatever. But what are your thoughts on the Bludgeon Brothers so far? Like now that they've had a few matches.
Yeah, good point. I don't like their gear for starters. I think it looks really dorky. I love their engine. It's like they're definitely like just guys who are figuring it out. They're giving them time and space. They're not pushing them into the main event picture. They weren't in that fatal four way on SmackDown for the number one contendership. So they're giving some space and time. I feel like I'm talking physics here or something, but they're giving them available. They're just letting them grow outside of the main event picture so that they are not pressured to be in a program wherever they have to deliver every single week right now, because I think they're working out some kinks. They're in ring. I mean, you know, the whole their match against Breezango this week wherein they could pin him and then they lift up the shoulders and, you know, all that stuff. I don't know. That's been done a whole hell of a lot. So I'm not here for that. But in general, I think their aura is right. Their entrance is right. Their chemistry is obviously there as it always has been. They just need to iron out some other, like, the gear for starters for me. Their in-ring style, I think, needs to be more unique. It needs to be better than just, you know, two gigantic big men. It's very similar to their style of when they first debuted as a tag team and were first running amok. You know, it just, I feel like they need a little bit more of a unique moveset. But that's all, like, look, those are minor quips with what is overall a really fun act that I hope to see continue.
Yeah, I'm enjoying them. I've said before, it's going to be interesting how they book them once they lose a match. Like, it's cool to book them as monsters for their run, but eventually they do have to look vulnerable. And once they lose that, how do you continue to book them? I think that's going to tell a lot with them. But I'm still hoping that they're like AOP's first feud on the main roster. That would just sign me.
That would be awesome. Yeah, absolutely. We didn't even mention the fact you mentioned their first loss. We didn't mention that Aleister Black was pinned for the first time in that match by Johnny Gargano. What are your thoughts on that?
That's interesting. That they had him take the pin. I wouldn't have expected that coming in.
I was not expecting that either. I thought it was gonna be, if you were gonna put Gargano over, I thought of all the guys in the match, but do it to Killian Dane, because he's technically in a tag team, you know? Like, I feel like he could have taken the loss easier than anybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was surprising that they had that pinfall on Aleister, but I mean, shit happens. He went through enough in that match, so it's not like it was a weak pinfall by any means. So I don't really think he loses much.
If Goldberg would have just lost in a fatal four way, would you just been like, oh, shit happens, you know, break the streak?
I wasn't a big Goldberg fan at the time, so I probably would have been like, yes. Good. Pin that.
You weren't a big Goldberg fan? Why were you not into Goldberg?
Listen, so I grew up on Hulk Hogan.
All right, Let me you just took the tone of, son, sit down on the porch and let me tell you about some wrestling.
I didn't I?
But man.
So yeah, I worshipped at the throne of Hollywood Hulk Hogan. Because I was such a fan. It was like ingrained in my original wrestling fandom since I started watching it. So like when he went up against Hawk and beat him so handedly, I was like, you know what? Fuck this Goldberg bastard. So yeah. I was so happy to see Kevin Nash be the first one to pin him. I lost.
Oh my
shit.
God. You are the fucking worst. The taser.
The taser, Scott Hall interference, all of it. And then to turn around and Kevin Nash lose the title on the finger poke of doom, like all that shit, man.
Words cannot express the disappointment that is across my face.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Hey, send us home.
All right, man. Well, I am CEO Hayes. You can follow me at CEO HAIZE. But more importantly, you can find all the lovely podcasts of the Wrestling World Podcast Network at thewwpn.com. You can send us any feedback to thewwpn@gmail.com. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at thewwpn. Josh, where can the lovely people find you?
At V as in violin, E-R-L-A-N-D-J. That's Verlin J on all social medias. Come find me there if you so desire. We will be recording in the coming days after New Year's Eve. Of course, we wish everybody listening a happy New Year's Eve. Hayes, do you have any big plans for New Year's Eve?
No, not at all. Oh, I do. I'm going to an 80s party for New Year's Eve.
Oh, what are you going to dress as?
I have no idea. Like, if it was 70s, I could put something together. I have no idea how to dress for 80s.
80s wrestler.
Ah. Okay. Okay, I like what you did there. Thank you for that, Josh.
Well, who would you be?
80s wrestler. If I was going to go something crazy, which I probably am, probably Macho Man.
I was going to say the same thing. Oh, yeah, brother, I'm going to whip out the old Macho Man impression. Yeah, you know, I mean, got to whip that out, man. How's your Macho Man?
I got to work. I used to have a really good one. I used to. But
let me hear it.
No, I don't have any. I couldn't even imagine.
Oh, how to come on.
No.
Go smoke a pack of cigarettes and get back to me.
I got you.
Well, in any event, we'll be back after the New Year's Eve holiday. We'll go over whatever we thought was outside of Impact, you know, just in general, what we thought the best 2017 was, kind of recap all the best, the ups and the downs. Maybe we'll talk about the best, the worsts, and the in-betweens. But, you know, yeah, we had a packed show this week. We'll have a packed show next week, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Hayes and Josh Show. We haven't even mentioned the name of the goddamn show one time in this whole fucking podcast. We're great at branding ourselves. The Hayes and Josh Show. Another episode in the books. That's all we got here, folks. Thank you guys so much for listening once again. Stay warm out there. Holy shit, it was freezing today in NYC. And yeah, enjoy your holiday season. Be safe out there on New Year's Eve. We'll catch you next week. Peace off.
Peace.